This evening, how many of you were here in 2010? Okay, just a few of you? Okay. So I'll share my testimony. My family, I'll tell you a little bit. We escaped the communist regime back in 79. We went to Thailand. We got sponsored to America. And I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. Anybody from Atlanta, Georgia? Nobody? Anybody from the South? Sir? You from Atlanta?
I live near Atlanta.
Okay, great. Oh, nice. Okay, one person, amen? But I'll share you more of my testimony this evening, because I know some of you have not heard it. I do that to different, tell different churches. But God called my family to go back to Cambodia, a country where we escaped from in the 70s. And she goes, thank you so much for allowing me to be here with you. And if you have your Bible, turn to 1 John. I also want to thank you, those of you that do the bus ministry. I was a bus captain for 8 years in Atlanta and then in Long Beach, California. So thank you so much for doing that. I used to ride a bus myself. Okay. 1 John chapter 5. Did I tell you the chapter? 1 John chapter 5. And I pray for my family. My wife and children cannot travel with me. My wife have to care for her sick mom. My mother-in-law, she had a stroke not too long ago, and she's cannot care for herself at this time. So my wife had to care for her mom. That's why most of the time I'm traveling by myself. So it's hard to be without my wife. Amen. Your lady do everything, and you guys are, oh wow, just cannot say enough about my wife. But you guys know us men cannot survive without you ladies. But okay, let me ask you guys, I got quite a time. Now, my name is spelled Touch, T-O-U-C-H, like you touch something. Anybody remember how to say it in the Cambodian language? Anybody can try? The last name is K-E-O, first name is Touch, spelled Touch. Anybody remember how to say it? Remember, I told you guys a couple of times, this is a quiz from 10 years ago, amen? Touche. good try, bro, Cooney. Anybody want to try? Come on, don't be scared. I'm not a monster, amen. Pretty nice. No, just kidding. You don't know if I want to try? I tell everybody to make it easier. Everybody in my home church call me Two, like the number two. But it's pronounced Thu. Can you guys say Thu? Okay, okay. You guys okay with the time change? You guys awake? We're getting there? Okay. And the last name is K-E-O. Most people say Keo. And you're fine. You can say Keo, but it's pronounced Kao. Thu Kao. But you can't remember that? You can call me Tu or Keo. Amen? I just want to let you guys know that. All right. Okay. Also pray for my family. Planning to go back in July. I've been here several months already, but we've been in Cambodia over 11 years now, since 2010. Okay, and you guys have been supporting us since 2010, since Pastor Coover was still here. I know Pastor Coover was retired. He went back to North Carolina. I got really close to him at that time. Is he still in North Carolina? Does anybody know? Okay, good. All right. This is the Khmer language, Khmer Cambodian Bible. Our language is called Khmer, K-H-M-E-R. I'm going to read it to you for you to hear what it sounds like, okay? But Arthur L. Hammond, an Alliance missionary for over 40 years, he was the first American missionary that went to Cambodia in 1923. He left in 1922, but he did not get in until 1923. At that time, Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, known as Indochina. You guys remember that? Anybody? People my age and older. And France controlled our country for almost 100 years. But Arthur L. Hammond translated the English Bible into the Cambodian language, and it is the best translation. Okay, so let me read it for you. And so 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. And how you say John is Johann Timui. On that night, that Jew tire, pray Jesu, Jew, pray Christ, net no ban, God be pray mouth. High often that night, that so line prayer, not man God clone mouth, new God remains a line, not on that I did, that God be thrown mouth die. Verse 2. God now, young so line, not prayer, high can time, often, but yet, about strong, new young, dung tire, young so line, not poor cone, about prayer die. But Nihai Jesus like they so line the prayer, good or young can time or thing, Panyat about throng. I Panyat throng, new men men cheer, Bantok dot Smonte. Be pro crop them all, that God be prayer mouth, new match near locay high. I change him near that near locay, new good Jesus like they, Jim Nur about young, Tan at Natch in that near locay, Bob and men in that, that cheer time, pray you suit your prayer reach, but try and they prayer. Amen? Okay. Okay, that's how the Cambodian language sounds like, Khmer language. Okay. And okay, let me go back to the English. It's 1 John chapter 5. I want you to look at verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Well, can you guys say grievous? Okay, grievous. Okay, the Bible tells us that God's commandments are not grievous. Okay, I don't know where you at, how long some of you been saved. What do you think of when you think about God's commandments? Okay, you don't have to answer me. I just want you to think. Okay, you think God is being too hard? Because we know the greatest commandment is to love God. And to love God, and you love God, you love to love God, and to love your neighbor as thyself. And we all know we love ourselves, amen? Okay? But God said, to love God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul. Or with your whole being, with everything about you, everything. Okay? Let me pray before we'll get started. Father, Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here with Bellingham Baptist. Thank you so much for the faithful support and prayer, for the support for missionary all over the world. And Lord, I pray that you help us to glorify you and honor you this morning, this whole day, and help us to grow in our love for you. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so I just want to teach. I taught this a couple of times already, but I was preaching another message in Cambodia. And then I used verse 3 as a reference. And then when I studied verse 3, God really spoke to my heart, where it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And you might say, oh, God's commandments are not grievous, but by our action, we might act like it is grievous. Okay, when we don't do what God tells us to do. Okay, but you guys know, you and I know, God, the two greatest commandments to love God and to love others, to love people. And, sometimes it's easier to say that we love God, but loving people, friend, it is not as easy. Okay? I always tell people, loving people that like yourself, like you, is not that difficult. But loving people that's not like you, that can be a challenge. Okay? For me, loving the communist Cambodia is not easy. Loving a certain other Asian culture is not easy. Okay, and then, like I said, For us to love people like us, it's easy. But people that are different from us, smell different, eat differently. Okay? I can tell you all kinds of stuff we Cambodian people eat. I'll save it for this evening, amen? After you eat. Cambodian people love to eat fermented fish that they're put in a jar in the dark for several months, and it's full of maggots. And they just take the maggots out and just eat the fish. Amen? I told you already. But like I said, it's easy for us to say. To do is much harder. But of course, I wanted you to understand that if our love for God grow, our love for people will grow also. I'll be honest with you, when the more I know my Bible, the more I know God, I am not only thinking about my people. I'm thinking about other people in other nations. I'm thinking about people in the 1040 windows, other Asian nations. I'm thinking about people that all over this world, the more I think about it. Okay? I taught this in college. The 1040 window, 10 degree latitude, north, 40 degree. This country in this red area made up most of the world population. And the people in this red area, 1040 window, a lot of them, I forgot the percentage, but a lot of them will die without ever hearing about Jesus Christ. Without ever hearing about Jesus Christ. A lot of people in this nation, China, India, Southeast Asia, North Africa, Indonesia, Korea, Japan, all this area. Okay, 1040 window. But so many people in that area. But like I said, the more I serve God, I be honest, my heart is just not for my people. I pray for other nations. I pray for other people groups. If I am growing in my love for God, I will grow in my love for other people. It's automatic. And sometimes I want to encourage you, challenge you. If you don't, if your love for you can only love people that like you, and that's it. It's a big problem. Big problem, trust me. It's a big problem. I want to be like God. I want to be where I am not prejudiced. I am not a respecter of person. I want to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how our Lord Jesus is. That's how he was when he was here on earth. And that's how God is. God is no respecter of person. 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 4. God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Sometimes we quote that, we say that, and we don't think about it. I think I'm going to talk about a lot about John 3:16. The Bible said, for God so loved the world. Didn't say for God so loved America only. The world. The world. And I didn't do this, but I want to show you a picture of different people of the world for you and I to see. But let me be honest with you. Not that I wasn't honest before, but let me be frank with you. Be frank with you even more. To be honest with you, for me, it's easy for me to love American, honestly, because I grew up in America. Sometimes it's harder for me to love my own people, honestly, because Cambodian culture is a godless, cruel culture. I grew up in that culture, part of my life. I grew up in America since 1981. I was 11 years old when my family came to America. I know how American are, okay? I know our American culture that has that Judeo-Christian value. I know about that. And when I came to America in the early 80s, you know, my classmates forgive each other very quickly. In our American culture, I know it's changing, but I thank God for that, that American culture. We forgive each other very quickly. When I was not used to that in Cambodia. In my culture, if I got in a fight with somebody, one time, they my enemy for life. It's a godless culture that would take advantage of young girls. Very abusive. I mean, very abusive toward women. The guys do basically do whatever they want, but the woman, if I just, I might tell you more detail, but if I tell you a lot more, from a young age, girls being sold into sex work and things like that, it'll break your heart. That's Cambodian culture. Honestly, Cambodian culture. The women work a lot harder than the men. They've been like that for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. Thousands. But like I said, sometimes it's, for me, it's not hard for me to love American, to love America. But let me go back. If I truly love God, and I'm growing in my love for God, I will grow in my love for other people. For other people. But people that are like me, that look like me, and people that don't look like me. Okay? Tell you another thing. This is what, because I grew up in Atlanta, where 70% are African American. Most of my classmates are African American. There's several Asian, most Asian culture that look down on dark skinned people. I hated that. You guys know they already consider me dark in Cambodia? Man, I'm telling them I'm beautiful, amen? No, I'm just kidding. I tell my kids that, they don't believe it. Tell my wife and kids that. I say, I am beautiful. My daughter said, whatever, daddy. You know? But, they consider me dark already in Cambodia. I hated that. Honestly. I hate when people in Southeast Asia, I tell churches, you guys know they're so want to be white. They use whitening powder to make their face white in Asia. They want the fair complexion like Caucasian American. And I tell them most white Americans want to be tan. And a lot of Asian people want to be light, white. I don't care if they want to be light, but don't look down on dark-skinned people. Amen? That's when it becomes sin, become wrong. And I tell you that, just remind you and I, of course, God's greatest commandment, love God, love people. It's easy for us to say love God, but I remind you, God said, if you and I truly love God, we'll love people, and not people just like us. People that are different, look different, eat different. Now my friend that know me really well, if I tell you this, just take my word for it. I basically can eat anything. How many of you have dogs in here? Okay, don't hold it against us, some Asian people. They eat dogs in Cambodia and have tried at least 3-4 times. Forgive me, please. Okay. But some other nasty stuff, okay? That's why I said, love God, love people. If you're not careful, you're going to hate people that eat nasty stuff. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay. All right, let me go on. Don't worry, I got it. I just got 4 points. So let me go back to Sunday school class. His commandments are not grievous. Now, the word grievous meaning oppressive or burdensome. John reminding us that God's commandments are not grievous. God did not give his commandment to oppress us or to abuse us or to bind us, meaning to bind also. He did not give his commandment to bind us. Okay. God is a loving God. He knows what is best for us. Amen? He knows what is best for us. That's why we have his commandments. But I thank God for the Bible and God. It's like, you know, in religion, man made up all kind of rules and regulation. But with the Bible, with God, with Christianity, you know, the two greatest commandments, of course, to love God and to love people. And if you truly do those two things, you honor God with those, you obey God with those two commandments, you can actually cover everything, actually. Just think about it. You love God, you love people, you won't look down on people. You won't steal, you won't rob people, you won't do anything to hurt your family. Okay? You're not prejudiced. If you love God, you love people. See, that's why, I mean, God is wise. He's smart. You love God, love people. And you do that, it covers everything. I like how God simplifies it. Amen? It's not like 1,000 rules and regulations and religions. 600 rules and regulations in the Old Testament that the Pharisees made up. It's not like that. But let me go on. Okay. So Deuteronomy 6:5 commands us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Lest we underestimate the importance of this command, Jesus repeated it in Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. He then added that this was the first and greatest commandment. Okay? No wonder it is repeated over and over again throughout the scripture. Loving God is our greatest responsibility and privilege. So, loving God is our greatest responsibility. I'm just wondering, for everybody sitting on this side, for everybody knows, I'm going to join this side, amen? No, I'm just curious. But our greatest responsibility to love God. Love God. But I encourage you and challenge you, friend, when we truly love God and our love for God grows, we will love all people. And I mean all. More and more, I think about people in other nations, not just people in Southeast Asia. Because everybody needs God. Everybody. Think about it. Not one person in this world that does not need God. Every single person. You know, how many of you are like me? You like to watch some, if I have time, I like to watch shows that people live in small towns or off the grids or away from everybody. I like to watch that sometimes. The only thing that irritates me, these people that live from community, they are very arrogant. They don't think none of us can do it. They're probably right, amen. But they talk, you know, very prideful. They're the only one that can live off the grid. But I do like to watch people live away, live in the wilderness, things like that. But you ever think about all these people that live even above the Arctic Circle? God loved them also. God loved them very much. People that are far away from everybody else. You think about it. Doesn't matter how isolated people are, God cares about them very, very much. Just like he cares about city people. Let me go on. Loving God is our greater responsibility and privilege. God is to be loved completely and totally because he and he alone is God and because he had made a covenant of love with his people. Okay? Let me go on. The heart and soul and mind are references to our emotions, wills, and intellect. Such represents the Hebrew way of saying that we are to love God with our whole being, with all of our might and strength. We are to love God. But let me, for the next few minutes, give me about 10 minutes, why God's commandments are not grievous. Let me remind you again, the word grievous means burdensome or oppressive. OK? Okay, and John reminding us that God's commandments are not burdensome or oppressive. Okay, it's not grievous. But if you and I are not careful, we know it's not grievous, but we act like it is grievous. We act like going to church is too much. We act like reading our Bible is too much. We act like praying each for each other, loving one another, being compassionate toward each other is too much. If we're not careful. If we're not careful. We know it's not grievous, but by our action, going out, reaching our neighborhood is too much. If we're not careful. Okay? But I want to encourage you with that. So, number one, his commandments are not grievous when we see how wise and good the commandments of God are. So think about it. If you and I we're living our lives obeying God, we live an abundant life. A life full of joy and peace. Amen? If you and I disobey God, we live life according to self. Okay? Now, I would not trade place with anything. I love serving God in Cambodia, doing God's will. Don't get me wrong. I love to enjoy the thing in America. But I don't mind giving up all these things in America for God's will. I love traveling in America. I love driving. I love, you know, eating all kind of food. You can tell by my size. Amen? But you know what? Doing God's will is the greatest thing there is. Being in the center of God's will. Now, I'm a baseball fanatic. I'm glad the lockout is over, amen? I keep up with baseball a little bit. I grew up following the Atlanta Braves since 1981. I still can check it a little bit. But sport was my thing. And baseball, football, basketball, all these things. I love sports. But all those things doesn't matter, doesn't mean much when comparing to God. You know, I used to, but like I told you, my family came to America as refugees, so my heart really go out for the Ukrainian people trying to escape the war. We did that in Southeast Asia. We did that in Southeast Asia in the 70s. And we came to America, and America gave us opportunities to be educated, to work, and to live, you know, we have freedom here in America. And I thank God for America. But, you know, for God, I am willing to do anything for God. I don't mind leaving America to go to Cambodia for God. As much as I love this country. Okay? You won't find me complaining anything about America, trust me. I know what America, how great America is. Okay, I know how great our country is. It's been a haven for refugees for hundreds of years. It's been a haven for my family. We escaped communists to come to this nation. And this nation gave us freedom, opportunity to work, to be educated. But let me go back. So his commandments are not grievous when we see how wise and good the commandments of God are. He gave us his commandments so that we live a life that is fulfilling, a life that is, you know, an abundant life, full of joy, peace, happiness. Okay, like I told you, you know, that nothing can replace that God's will. Nothing. Nothing in this life is better than serving God, friend. And I thank those of you that are committed to God, that are living for God. Trust me, I will not trade this life for anything. Even though there's a lot of things I'd like in America, like I told you. But I would not trade it for serving God. I used to have that American dream, having a big house, having a motorcycle, boats, things like that. But you know, for God, those things don't matter. Those things don't matter. Those things don't matter. But I am afraid sometimes to say, but I'm not be the one that's going to be shy away from saying it. Sometimes I am afraid sometimes too many Christians loving the things of this world too much.
Amen. Right.
Honestly, I'll be honest with you. If more Christians will give their life to God, I do believe that the world could be reached with the gospel. You know, there's still, they say, at least 3 billion people in this world that have never heard of Jesus one time. But if more Christians would give their life to God and do God's will, I do believe this world can be reached with the gospel. I do believe that. Let me go on. His commandments are not grievous when we see how wise and good the commandments of God are. They are gifts from Him to show us the best and most fulfilling life possible. Okay? At James 1:17, every good thing, perfect thing, comes from above, from God. And that include God's commandments. Okay? They are gifts to us. If you and I look at it that way, we have no problem wanting to obey it. Amen? I know saying is easy to say, but doing is much harder. I know that. I realize that. It's not easy to obey God to a certain thing. Okay? It's not easy going out to reach the Muslim in Cambodia. It's not easy. But God commanded us to reach all people, to preach the gospel. Let me go on. Secondly, His commandments are not grievous because when we are born again, we are given new hearts. Hearts which by instinct wish to please God. Amen? Before you and I know God, before we knew God, we do things to please ourselves. To please our sin nature. I remember as a teenager, I was bitter and angry. I loved sport. I mean, I watched sport 4 or 5 hours a day. Couldn't wait to get out of school, elementary school, middle school, to get home, play Pac-Man. Amen? Anybody remember Pac-Man? Okay. Those of you that are my age and older definitely remember. I guess the younger generation know about it also. I was good in Pac-Man. I could spend 1 quarter, and I would play Pac-Man for 30 minutes. That's how good I got. Okay, Galaxy, Pac-Man, Froggy, all those things, amen? Let me remind you young people, it's not 100 years ago, amen? It's just over 40 years ago. So don't anybody come up and tell me, oh, that brother Q, that's 200 years ago. But I tell you all that, you know, when you and I are saved, God give us a new heart. A heart that wants to please God. Every day, what I always want to do was, like, after school, I just want to gamble. All the time, I steal. I remember I stole an egg during the wartime because I was so hungry. I stole something from my uncle. My sister whipped me for it. But if I want to do something, I did it. I stole. I gambled. Did another bad thing before I knew God. But once you are saved, and want evidence that you are saved, you have a new desire, a new mind, a new heart. You know, before I got saved, I dreamed of being, one day I'm going to be the first Cambodian baseball player. I love baseball. Shortstop, third baseman. And I would read all kind of article about Willie Mays, Babe Ruth, all this stuff. But you know, once I got saved, a new heart, you know, I no longer worry or consumed with those things. I am consumed with serving God and loving God. Before I got saved, I was bitter because in the war, in the 70s, the communists killed. My father was executed by the communists in 1975. I actually visited the mountain where most likely he was killed, in that mountain where they, to save bullets, they would, the soldier that my dad was in the army, he got captured. They just stabbed the soldier and they were thrown down into the cave in the mountain. And this mountain in Cambodia, thousands and thousands of human skulls. Most likely my father died there. But because of the war, because I lost three members of my family, I was bitter and angry. I wanted vengeance. I dream of killing communists. I dream of killing people. I said, you know, one of these days I'm going to avenge my dad. But you know, after I got saved, everything changed. Even the last 12 years in Cambodia, I have witnessed to at least three or four men that used to serve in the communist military. I have no problem. You know why? God gave me a new heart. A new heart. Like I told you, before I got saved, everything to me was all about sport. In fact, I loved the Atlanta Braves so much, my brother, my friend called me Braves. I couldn't wait to get home to watch WTBS, Ted Turner Station. I mean, young people might not know that now. But couldn't wait to watch baseball. But now, you know what? It's all about God. God, that's why, friend, his commandment is not grievous. If you are truly born again, God gives you a new heart. A heart that desires that want to please God. All I want to do is just please God, I'll be honest with you. All I want to do is just please. Of course, sometimes I fail. Of course, because we're a sinner. But all I think about is God and doing his will. That's all I'm concerned about. I am not concerned about having big houses, having several vehicles. I'm not concerned about that. But let me go on. Got a couple more minutes. Don't worry, I'll finish on time. Okay. Thirdly, his commandments are not grievous when we compare them to the religious rules men make up. In Buddhism, all kind of rules every year. Cambodian people are required to give offering to their ancestor, temples in this festival, seven different temples in 2 weeks. They have all kind. In the Buddhism, they're not supposed to drink, gamble, but most Cambodian people cannot. They cannot keep that because only God can change a person's heart. Okay, there's no power in religion. There's power in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the gospel. Let me say I'm going to focus on this, but I'm out of time. Fourthly, his commandments are not grievous when we really love God. Amen. That actually is the best point. Look at yourself, okay? Those of you that work hard, it's not easy. It's hard work. You take care of your kids. You don't consider it oppressive or burdensome. And I know it's not easy, but you do it because you love your children. You work hard to take care of them. You want them to be fed. Okay? My mom, I'll be honest with you, during the wartime, because we were starving, if we catch a rat to eat or a snake, she would give all her children or fish, she would let us eat it first. And sometimes she would go without food. That's how much she cared about her children, love her children. And of course, we eat the rat too, amen? Very yummy. Amen. Nobody say amen. Wow. Tastes like chicken. No, it tastes like rat. Rat tastes like rat, sir. Okay. But I want to remind, if you and I truly love God, God's commandment is not grievous. It's not oppressive. You love God, attending church is not grievous. You love God, it's not hard. It's not grievous to pray for other people, to love one another, to be kind, to be compassionate. Doesn't matter who they are, if you and I truly love God. You love God, it's not hard to support our pastor, to stand behind him, to be faithful to church, if you truly love God. That's all I boil down to. So I just want to remind you those things, those four simple things. God's commandments are not grievous. Are not grievous. Amen? Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for the attentiveness of people here, Lord. We love you, Lord. You deserve all the honor and praise. And thank you so much for giving us another day to live and to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.